Pan. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasatim Vyasam. Tato Jayamudiraye. Nashto Prayeshu Abhadreshu. Nittam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Srimad Bhagavatam, First Canto, Chapter 9, The Passing Away of Bhishma Dev, Text 15. Yatra Dharma Suto Raja Gadapanir Brikodaraha Krishna Astri Gandivam Chapam Surhit Krishnas Tato Vipat. Yatro Dharma Suto Raja Gadapanir Brikodaraha Krishna Stri Gandivam Chapam Surhit Krishnas Tato Vipat. Yatro Dharma Suto Raja Gadapanir Brikodaraha Krishna Stri Gandivam Chapam Surhit Krishnas Tato Vipat. Yatro Dharma Suto Raja Gadapanir Brikodaraha Krishna Stri Gandivam Chapam Surhit Krishnas Tato Vipat. Mataji's. Yatra where there is Dharmasutaha, the son of Dharmaraj, Raja, the king, Gadapani, with his mighty club in hand, Brikodaraha, Bhima, Krishna, Arjun, Astri, carrier of the weapons, Gandivam, Gandiv, Chapam, bow, Surhit, well-wisher, Krishna, Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, Tataha, thereof, Bipat, reverse. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Oh, how wonderful is the influence of inevitable time. It is irreversible. Otherwise, how can there be reverses in the presence of King Yudhishthir, the son of the demigod controlling religion, Bhima, the great fighter with a club, the great bowman Arjun with his mighty weapon Gandiva, and above all, the Lord, the direct well-wisher of the Pandavas. Please repeat after me. Oh, how wonderful is the influence of inevitable time.
Oh, how wonderful is the influence of inevitable time.
It is irreversible.
It is irreversible.
Otherwise, how can there be reverses
in presence of King Yudhishthir,
the son of the demigod controlling religion, Bhima, the great fighter with a club,
the great bowman Arjun,
with his mighty weapon Gandiva, and above all, the Lord, the direct well-wisher of the Pandavas. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As far as the materials or spiritual resources were required, there was no scarcity in the case of the Pandavas. Materially, they were well equipped because two great warriors, namely Bhim and Arjun, were there. Spiritually, the king himself was a symbol of religion. And above all of them, the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, was personally concerned with the affairs as the well-wisher. And yet, there were so many reverses on the side of the Pandavas. Despite the power of pious acts, the power of personalities, the power of expert management, and the power of weapon under the direct supervision of Lord Krishna, the Pandavas suffering so many practical reverses, which can only be explained as due to the influence of Kala in the inevitable time. Kala is identical with the Lord Himself, and therefore the influence of Kala indicates the inexplicable wish of the Lord Himself. There is nothing to be lamented when a matter is beyond the control of any human being. Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militang Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtang Sthapitang Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare Yatra Dharmasuto Raja Gadapanir Brikodaraha Krishna Stri Gandivam Chapam Surit Krishna Stato Bipat. Oh, how wonderful is the influence of inevitable time. It is irreversible. Otherwise, how can there be reverses in the presence of King Yudhishthir, the son of the demigod controlling religion, Bhima, the great fighter with a club, and great bowman Arjun, with his mighty weapon Gandiv, and above all the Lord, the direct well-wisher of the Pandavas. So, Bhishma Dev was lying on a bed of arrows. Bhishma Dev was actually immortal, sort of. He had the benediction from his father that unless he himself would want to die, he would not die. Ichchamrittu. There is a little background behind that also. Like Bhishma's father, King Shantanu, became attracted to a girl, a daughter of the king of the fishermen. And so he approached her, and her name was Padmagandha, because her body emanated the fragrance of lotus, and that spread through miles. And smelling that fragrance, the king Shantanu, while he was hunting in the forest, became attracted and became curious, where this beautiful fragrance is coming from. And then he came to the bank of the Ganges, and he saw there's a girl taking people across the river on a boat. She was extremely beautiful. And so he approached her to marry her. She said, well, if you want to marry me, then approach my father. So he approached her father. Father said, okay, yes, you can marry her. It's such a good fortune that you, the king, is approaching for my daughter's hands. But there is one condition, that her son is going to be the king. Only on that condition I can offer my daughter to you. So Shantanu said, well, that's not possible. I already have a son, and he has already been coronated as the crown prince. So he said, well, I'm sorry, I can't offer my daughter to you. There was another little background behind it. When the girl was born, then her astrological calculation predicted that her son would become the king. So he therefore made a condition that I can offer my daughter to you only on the condition that her son is going to be the king. So Shantanu declined. He was dejected, heartbroken. He left, went back to his kingdom. And his son, Bhishma, his name was Devavrata at that time. Devavrata saw his father was in a depressed condition. So he asked whether anything went wrong, because they were very close to each other. Actually, Mahabharata actually takes you to different anecdotes, one after another, one behind the other. So this Devavrata is the son of Mother Ganges. Shantanu was married to Mother Ganges. He became attracted to Ganga Devi becoming attracted to her beauty. And so Ganga said, okay, I can accept you as my husband only on one condition, that you'll never object to my actions. You'll never prevent me. You'll never prevent me from doing whatever I want to do. So he agreed on that. But what she did, one son was born, she took the son, went to the Ganges, dropped the son in the river, newborn baby in the river. And in this way, seven children were drowned in the Ganges. On the eighth child, when the child was born, and she was about to take the child to throw in the river, Shantanu protested. Why are you doing that? Being the mother, you are just killing your own children in this way. So she said, okay. And he said, please spare this child. So she said, fine, I'll spare this child, but now that you broke your promise, I have to leave you. So she went back to the heavenly planet where she belongs to. And she took the baby, and because the baby will need the mother's care. And then in course of time, when the boy was grown up, he was sent back to the king. That leads to another aspect. Want to hear that? Okay. There are 8 Vasus. There are different types of demigods. Adityas and Suras. And Vasus is one type of demigods. The 8 in numbers. There are Adityas, there are 12 in numbers. Dadas, Adityas, Ashta, Vasus, 8 Vasus. So once these Vasus along their wives were passing through the space, the sky of the earth planet, and there one of their wives saw a beautiful cow and she wanted to have that cow. They said, look, this cow is Nandini, the daughter of Suravi, and this cow belongs to sage Vasishtha. And he is very attached to this cow and he will never let you take that. But she kept on insisting, no, I want it, I want it. And when they came, Vasishtha was not there in the ashram. Initially they thought that they will ask Vasishtha to offer this cow. But Vasishtha was not there, so without his permission, they took the cow, Nandini. And when Vasishtha came back, he saw Nandini was missing. And so with his divine vision, he could see what actually happened. And he could see that these 8 Vasus stole the cow. So he said that these Vasus are not fit to remain in the heavenly planet. Let them be born in the earth planet, on the earth planet as human beings. So when the Vasus got to know about that, they came to Vasishtha and fell at his feet and said, please forgive us. Vasishtha said, the word that has gone out of my mouth is bound to happen. It's going to bound to happen. But if Mother Ganges agrees to become, carry you all in her womb as a child, then you'll be delivered right after your birth. But the one who stole the cow, he'll have to stay there for a long, long time. So anyway, so that is how then they worship Mother Ganges. Mother Ganges agreed to become their mother. So another background? Ready for that? Okay. There was a very pious king who was elevated to Satyaloka, the abode of Lord Brahma. So he was, one day Mother Ganges came carrying the water for Brahma to do his worship. And in the wind, her sari got misplaced and her breast became exposed. And then this king just kept on looking at her. So seeing that, Brahma said, look, you are not qualified to stay in Satyaloka. Go back to the earth planet. And but since you desired Ganga, that desire will be fulfilled. Ganga will become your wife. So that king became Shantanu and Ganga became his wife. Okay, now let's go back to the Vasus. 7 Vasus, right after their birth, they were delivered. Right after their birth. That's why Ganga had the condition that you will never protest to any of my action. If you do, I'll immediately leave you. So seven children were born right after the birth, and they were delivered. But the eighth one had to stay for a long, long time. So that eighth son is Devavrata. He was born out of Ganga. Ganga took him to the heavenly planet, and he was trained there. Shantanu was trained by the guru of the demigods, Brihaspati, and how to use weapons, the military art, he learned from Parashuram, the incarnation of the Lord. So that's why Bhishma was an amazing personality. He had the wisdom, like a divine wisdom, and he was a great warrior, being trained by Parashuram. Okay, so Shantanu wanted to marry this daughter of the king of the fishermen, and he was refused. So when Bhishma asked him, Shantanu asked his father, so what happened? Why did anything go wrong? The father declined to say anything. I said, no, everything is all right. Nothing is wrong. But he asked his chariot driver, what actually happened? Please tell me. And the chariot driver told him everything. Okay, take me to that king of the fishermen, Dibar Raj. So he was taken to the king of the fishermen. And he said, look, my father approached you for your daughter. So why don't you offer her to him? Then he told him that, look, this is the condition. I made a condition to him that, yes, you can marry my daughter provided her son becomes the king. So then Shantanu said, fine. He actually declined because I am the successor to the throne. So I am relinquishing my right over the throne. Your daughter's son will become the king. But this Dhivara Raj was very smart. He said, very good. Very good of you. Very nice of you. But what about your children? Like, you may relinquish your right over the throne, but your children and my grandchildren may start fighting over the kingdom. So then Bhishma said, okay, I take a vow that I'll never get married. Now for a Kshatriya to take such a vow is very, very difficult. So Bhishma took that vow, and that vow was so terrible that even the demigods began to exclaim, what a terrible vow, what a terrible vow. And that sound came as Bhishma. In Sanskrit, Bhishma means a terrible act, a terrible vow. So that's how he got the name Bhishma. So Bhishma, and then he arranged for the wedding between his father and his stepmother. When his father got to know about that, then the father gave him the benediction or blessings. You will not die. You will die only when you would want to die. So, now see the arrangement of destiny. This personality was meant to be on the earth planet for a long, long time. And here he gets a boon that you will not die unless you want to die. And so Bhishma, during the battle of Kurukshetra, he was shot with arrows. So many arrows pierced his body, just went through his body. Arjun was shooting those arrows. and all these arrows pierced his body, entered from the front and came out from the back. And they were sticking to the body. Not one, but hundreds of such arrows. So finally when Bhishma fell on the ground, he fell on a bed of arrows. He didn't die in spite of being shot by so many arrows. And Bhishma was actually waiting for the right time to leave his body. That according to the Vedic understanding, when the sun moves on the southern side, southern hemisphere, that's not the good time to leave the body. When the sun moves on the Uttarayan, on the northern hemisphere, then that's the good time, because when one leaves his body during that time, he goes to the higher planetary system. So Bhishma was waiting for that time. And so battle of Kurukshetra was over, and then Krishna along with the Pandavas came to see Bhishma Dev when he was lying on a bed of arrows, and he's giving this advice to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And this one is saying that how amazing is the influence of time, meaning the influence of destiny. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasaha. In this material nature, everything happens according to the gunas, modes of material nature, and the action of the individuals. As one sows, so shall he reap. As you sow, so shall you reap. To every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. To every action, there is a reaction. And nothing happens by chance or by accident. Behind every action, there is a reason, there is a cause. And that cause is this. Gunai karmani sarvasaha. Krishna is telling in Bhagavad Gita. Nothing happens by chance or accident. Everything happens by one's own action performed in different modes. As one acts in different modes, he gets the reactions accordingly. It's not the same action will produce the same reactions. No. It will depend upon in which mode that action was taken. For example, say somebody is struck while crossing the road by a bicycle. One person, by being hit by the bicycle in this way, he begins to cry. Another person, after being hit, he just gets up and starts to beat up the cyclist. Another person, he just brushes away the dust from his thing. And he tells the driver, "Don't worry, it was my fault. I should have checked it. I should have seen that you are coming before crossing the road." The person who starts to cry, he is in the mode of, his action was in the mode of ignorance. The one who gets up and starts to beat up the cyclist, in the mode of passion. And the person who just says, "Well, it's alright, don't worry about it, it's my fault," he is in the mode of goodness. And accordingly, there will be the result or reactions to that action. So everything in the material nature takes place according to guna and karma. One acts in different modes and accordingly he gets the result. And then in the material nature, there is that kala, the time. Everything happens on the foundation or basis of time. So time is the thing that is carrying everybody and everything in this material nature. Kala. Therefore time has been defined in the Kala Chakra, the cycle of time. One aspect of time is it moves in cycle. After every second comes one second. After a minute comes a minute and so forth. It moves in cycle. Another aspect of time is Kala Prabaha. time actually moves like a current in a river. Time is moving and we all are floating or being carried away by time. And here it has been pointed out that it is time is a manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahma Samhita actually describes what is this time. The time is the glands of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam also is making the same point. When the Lord glances, when Mahavishnu glances towards the material nature, the glance is actually time. And that glance is also Lord Shiva. Therefore, sometimes the time is defined as Mahakal aspect of Lord Shiva. Actually, the Vedic wisdom is very, very scientific because they are dealing with the absolute truth. Everything is extremely scientific. There is no room for concoction or speculation or imagination. And that's what Bhishma Devi is saying. It's so amazing. Dharmaraj, Yudhishthir Maharaj is the son of Dharma, Jamraj. Jamraj is the Dharma, is the personified Dharma, the demigod who controls Dharma. Dharma means the laws given by the Lord. Dharmang tu Shakshad Bhagavat Pranitam. So one is meant to abide by this Dharma, the rules and regulations that has been prescribed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. So Dharmaraj is doing that. And the Dharmaraj is actually performing. He is the king. And then Bhim, the most powerful personality, and who is so expert with his mess. Bhima actually had the strength of 10,000 elephants. Can you imagine what kind of power he had? 10,000 elephants. And Arjun is the greatest warrior of all time. And he has been bestowed with this. He had been blessed with the bow called Gandiv. So this is how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is. Is there any specific time to close the class? Okay. Yes? Yeah, okay. You have a question. Yeah. Let me finish that point. That he's expressing his surprise. That look, warrior, Yudhishthir Maharaj, the son of Dharma, is the king. Powerful fighter, warrior, Arjun and Bhim are there. And Krishna himself is with them as their supreme well-wisher and companion and friends. Now why they are facing so many reverses? Right at their childhood, they lost their father. Then they were brought to the kingdom, and right from their arrival to the kingdom, their cousins, their uncle's sons became their enemies, so much so that they just tried to get rid of them in so many different ways. And then finally they became the king of the entire earth planet after performing Rajasuya Yajna. And they lost everything just in the course of a few hours. In the morning they are the king of the entire earth planet, and by the afternoon they lost everything, including their wife. So why such a thing happened? On the other hand, in Bhagavad Gita we can see that Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna Yatra Partha Dhanurdhara, there is bound to be victory, opulence, and fame. So why is this? So Bhishma Dev is pointing out this must be the arrangement of the Lord Himself. Yes, that's it. These actions are Krishna's own arrangement. That's Krishna's pastimes. They are not following the rules of these karmic reactions. It's Krishna's own arrangement because Krishna is establishing a principle. Krishna is teaching us how one should act. Like surrendering to Krishna is the ultimate goal of life. And when one does that, the ultimate victory, that's what matters. And the temporary prosperity is not really important. What really matters is the ultimate victory. And that's what we found. And that's what happens when one surrenders to Krishna. They may have to face some material difficulties, but we have to see that those difficulties are actually Krishna's arrangement. And just as Krishna puts a devotee into those difficulties, Krishna saves the devotees also from those difficulties. In that respect, there is a beautiful example given. Like sometimes the father throws the child up and the child gets into anxiety. But then the father catches the child midair. Then both the child and the father starts to laugh. So in this way, Krishna sometimes puts his devotees into some apparent difficulties. But then Krishna protects or saves the devotee, and then both the devotee and the Supreme Personality of Godhead begins to laugh. So that is Krishna's divine arrangement, and that is the purpose of Krishna's pastimes. Yes, Bhrigupati Prabhu, you had a question.
Thank you, Maharaj. Yeah, in the first part of your class, I was feeling kind of restless because we've had quite a few devotees relate these pastimes in previous classes over the last some months. But when you started talking about Kala, then I started getting excited. And I'm glad you cut me off and didn't let me ask my question when I did, because the way you ended it really was great. So my question is this. Is Kala something like Yoga Maya? In that, like in that pastime of Lord Chaitanya, the dancing with Ratha Yatra, it describes how the Lord just went into some sort of an internal consciousness and the Yoga Maya energy took over, understanding the desire of the Lord and made the arrangements. Because here in the verse it explains how, above all, the Lord is the direct well-wisher of the Pandavas. So in one sense, Krishna is the direct well-wisher. But in another sense, things are happening that are reverses, as that's what the verse is talking about. The Pandavas are in a reverse situation. Things are happening to them that are undesirable despite that. So is Kala like that? Is it like Yoga Maya? And aside from being, as you mentioned, the theater for the reaction to all events and flowing like the river, an inevitable force and identical with the Lord, and that it's like the gland. And aside from those aspects, is it that aspect too, that it's sort of been empowered with some sort of an executive discretionary ability to take control of a situation and ultimately bring about Prabhupada says here in the Purport, the inexplicable wish of the Lord to make that. Is it something like Yoga Maya in that sense?
Yeah, what's your question, actually?
The question is is Kala like Yoga Maya? Is it an energy that is acting on behalf of the Lord?
Kala is not Yoga Maya.
I know it's not. I know it's not the same thing. But is it in a sense like it, in that Yoga Maya, as I mentioned in that pastime, the Lord was dancing, and he just went into some sort of internal consciousness. Yoga Maya, Prabhupada explains in the four points.
Yeah, Krishna's, the pastimes of Krishna is arrangement of Yoga Maya. All the pastimes. In that respect, Yoga Maya, you see, Krishna's pastimes are like a drama.
Is Kala part of that drama?
Drama in the sense... Different individuals are playing the roles, right? They're acting those roles in a drama, and they become those personalities. Like a good actor becomes the role that he is playing, he or she playing, right? And in that respect, Jogomaya can be considered to be the director. She's directing. She's making the arrangements. She's making the arrangement where Krishna himself is the actor. Right? And a good actor, Krishna forgets. You know, that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he plays that specific role. And so does other individuals who are performing those acts. And Kala is the material aspect.
Is there some relationship though between
the two? See, in the spiritual world, Kala's influence is not there. Nahi jatrapi samaya. Right? There is no time, consideration of time in the spiritual world. Whereas in the material nature, everything is happening on the platform of Kala or on the context of Kala. Like in the material nature, everything is actually happening. In that respect, you can say that in the material nature, everything is three-dimensional, right? Length, breadth, and width, right? Length, breadth, and height. Everything has that three dimensions, right? But there's a fourth dimension. The fourth dimension is time. Everything is happening with time. So, like, therefore, in spiritual world, the time doesn't act like that. Krishna wants something and it happens. It's midday, right? Krishna decides, well, I wish I could dance with the gopis now. And immediately the scene changes. It becomes night, the full moon comes up in the sky, and the scene is set, right? Krishna plays the flute, all the gopis come running, and they have they dance. So there everything is happening according to Krishna's will. The time is not influencing the happenings there. And everyone there is tuned into Krishna. Therefore, time doesn't exist there. And that, on the other hand, time there is constant or eternally present. Nitya Vartaman. Whereas in the material nature, the time exists in three aspects. Past, present and future. But actually, present practically is non-existent. Before you have said P of the present has gone into the... from future to past. Right? It's just a fleeting concept of present. Whereas in the spiritual world, the past and future is a fleeting concept. Like the residents of Vrindavan think, oh, when Krishna was a little boy, that's what he did. Like a memory of the past. Okay, yes.
Maharaj, just like you said, us we shall sow, so shall we reap. So, obviously, we all come with a lot of baggage when we come into Krishna consciousness. So, as aspiring devotees, we are all coming with our previous karma baggage. However, when we come in as devotees, now our actions are now being guided, hopefully by Sadhu, Shastra and Guru. So, if you are sincerely trying to do this, how are your actions, your previous actions, going to be neutralized? Or how will those actions pan out as a devotion?
Yeah, all previous actions are neutralized the moment you surrender to Krishna. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami masuchaha. I'll deliver you from all your sinful reactions. Krishna is speaking about sinful reactions because the pious reactions are desirable. Therefore, but actually he takes care of both pious and impious activities. Right? To the extent we surrender. When you become 100% surrendered, completely free from us, past activities. Karmani nirdahati kintucha bhakti bhajan. The mountainous karmic reactions are burnt out in a moment. Nirdahati, meaning nirdahati. Dahan means to burn. Nirdahati means very nicely burnt out. All your karmic reactions are burnt out immediately by means of devotion to the Lord.
So, Maharaj, in this drama, in this play, we see that the main point appears to be sometimes that the reverses for the conditioned soul to learn. So the big lesson will be how to deal with those reverses, isn't it? Mm. But sometimes we also see that the players, like in a regular play in a movie, if you're watching the movie, you see that the actors, it appears to be suffering. And so when we see the Pandavas, or you read the story, you actually see that they are playing it so good.
Yeah.
And you get so...
They learned it from Krishna's pastimes.
But for us, the conditioned souls is the lesson how to learn those reverses, isn't it? How to deal with it.
Yeah, the reverses are actually, for a devotee, those reverses are apparent. Apparent reverses. An example can be given that I think it happens with many of the devotees in the West. When the parents come and see how the devotees are living, they get shocked. Six devotees in one room. Maybe at home, you know, he had one full wing to himself. But now he is living in one room with four or six other devotees sleeping and lying on the floor. But the devotee, how does he feel that he is inconvenienced? He loves it. Now he feels that this is real life. So it is the devotees see things or perceive things in a different way. Like, say for example, apparently the Pandavas lost everything and they're going through so many difficulties. But when you go through what they were going through in the forest, they're having a wonderful time. Only Bhima used to get upset at times and he used to get into fight with Yudhishthira. It's because of you that we got into all this. But otherwise they were having a wonderful time. For example, they're hiding their identity after the burning of the house of Shalax. They're, you know, five brothers and Kunti, you know, wandering from place to place as brahmanas. The first night, what happens? One demon wanted to eat them, right? Bhima kills him. His sister, Hirimba, became attracted to Bhima, so approached. She was following them. And so then finally Kunti told Bhima, look, she wants to marry you, so get married to her. So, and Bhima went and spent some time with her. They are hiding in the house of, rather they are guests in the house of a brahmana. In the middle of the night they heard that some discussion was going on. And what was the discussion? One member of the family has to go as a food for the demon, Baka. And so father was saying, I am old, my life has almost come to an end, so let me go. His wife says, no, let me go. The son says, my responsibility is to take care of you, let me go. So in this way, they were actually having, you know, discussions among themselves who would go. Then Kunti Devi tells that, look, let my son go. They said, look, I mean, if we allow a guest to sacrifice his life, I mean, we'll be in the hell for millions of lifetimes. She said, no, look, my son is strong enough to deal such rakshasas. So then Bhima goes. Lots of food was also given for the demon to come and eat. Bhima started to eat. So this rakshasa comes and became enraged to see that this guy is eating my food. And then they started to fight and Bhima killed that demon. So in this way, apparently they may have been going through some difficulties. But the thing is that the material difficulties do not actually affect them. That is a devotee. Because he is not in the bodily platform, the bodily affairs or bodily happenings do not really affect him. His main concern is his relationship with Krishna. And in such situation, he actually learns to depend upon Krishna even more. And that's why a devotee considers that these reverses, these adversaries, these difficulties are actually benediction. So, okay, so I'll stop now. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.